The Prescription Shop, proud sponsors of Community Speaks. This is 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good Monday morning to you. And joining me in studio right now, Johnson County Commissioner Bill Novotny. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brady.
How are we doing today?
You know, other than it's decided to be winter again, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Had to break out the shovels yesterday, and it's probably our biggest snowfall of the year, don't you think?
It kind of feels like it.
Yeah, it does feel like it.
Then you throw in the cold. Just not a good deal. Put on your coveralls while you're shoveling that snow, and remember to take a break.
You know, that's right.
A lot of heart attacks and other injuries during snow shoveling, so just be careful.
Absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned the cold. I think it was one below when I came in this morning, and they're calling for a high of one above. So we got them 2 degrees to play with.
What a temperature swing.
Wait until this afternoon to do that shoveling. It'll be nice and one above. We've got a few topics here this morning. Of course, first week of legislature in the books. What can you tell us?
Well, Friday was kind of the drop-dead day for a lot of bills because they had to either clear their house of introduction on a two-thirds vote if they weren't budget-related or they are in the dustbin for the rest of the session. So I'm sorry to say that you will not be able to wear fluorescent pink for hunting. It failed to get through an introduction.
That was a bill?
It was. It was quite interesting to listen to some of the testimony. They had a color and fabrics expert from the University of Wisconsin called in on the phone to testify, and apparently deer in the color spectrum that they see cannot see pink.
Well, isn't that a good thing?
Well, yeah, but anyway, they weren't feeling real excited about that bill, and you know, everything from there was a really dangerous bill that was labeled as the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, which would have a real devastating impact on state and local government. That luckily died. Just a lot of stuff in a situation where we're in a difficult budget situation. We should be focused on priorities, not adding a second state song or
pink hunting deer is not top priority.
Not at all. And actually, I think that was a decent bill. But there were some other kind of strenuous type things that really probably should have been set aside and waited until the next year when they have a general session rather than taking up the short time. But good news on the front of our bill, and it's not our bill as in Johnson County's, but it's a bill that the state of Wyoming is pushing that would allow the purchase of some water rights in Lake De Smet, as well as Healy Reservoir, the pipeline, and the diversion. That cleared introduction, and then on Friday it cleared the House Appropriations Committee by a vote of 4-1, and I'm going to try to get some information to Appropriations Chairman Nicholas to sway him to get his vote, and that should be up this morning for introduction in the House.
And so what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean for the people here?
What it means is hopefully that you'll continue to be able to use Healy Reservoir. Healy Reservoir is operated on a year-to-year agreement with Sasol Energy that owns it. Before that, it was Texaco. And so we'd like to see the state have that. But more importantly, it means then the state's going to be a partner with the county in the third of the water rights that Sasol currently owns in Lake De Smet. And eventually, our hope is that you can take those water rights, build Bull Creek Reservoir up by the face of the mountain, and have guaranteed stream flow for Buffalo and Johnson County and anybody on the Clear Creek watershed, which could mean then we'd have a world-class fishery coming through Main Street all year round rather than just spring and fall when there's actual water in the creek rather than it hits August and it's a trickle and those fish are looking for a pool to stay cold in.
Sure.
So, just a solid bill there. The appropriations bill is starting to work its way through, and it still does have the $105 million for local government funding, which is so important to us. And then just some other things. There's a bill that we're really watching on exemptions of unemployment for seasonal workers. You know, when we hire college kids to help mow the grass at any of the county facilities, you hire them under the assumption that they are a seasonal worker. They know it. But what some of the other counties and municipalities are discovering is that some of those seasonal workers are then going back to college and deciding to file for unemployment benefits. We're trying to get that cleaned up. because when you hire them, you're very specific that, hey, you're going to start on this date and you're going
to... So they're trying to say, hey, I'm laid off until next summer.
That's, I need those exactly. And so pay for my books or my beer money. And well, we hope we paid them enough during the course of the summer when they were actually working for the county.
So that, they can at least get the books. Got to have your priorities right.
That's right. But that we don't get into a situation then where people are actually taking advantage of a seasonal employment opportunity.
Well, and that's what's kind of the issue with some of those programs, right? I mean, the idea of them is great, but the fact that some people take advantage of and that Absolutely. There is some loopholes, that's what makes it not so great for the rest of us.
Exactly. And then the other really interesting bill that kind of came out of nowhere was a 4% statewide lodging tax that the leadership in the Senate brought forward in the 11th hour, and they took it to a committee called Management Council for its drafting rather than the Revenue Committee, where a similar proposal had already been defeated. They rammed it out of Management Council, and what that would have done was it would have put a 2% statewide lodging tax that would go to the Wyoming Department of Tourism. Your county and your city would get 2% of that, 4% then to run travel and tourism activities. And then you would be prohibited. Right now, we can go for 4, which Johnson County has 3 in terms of lodging tax. You would then be reduced down to 2, what you could go for. But the biggest thing about that is you have counties and cities that, by the voters, choose to either have a lodging tax or not. And this would have forced it upon them, mandatory. And I have an issue with that. You know, we should get a vote and a say in the taxes that we're going to assess.
So you're not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. You just think people should have the option.
That's right. Vote for it. And that's what we currently have on the ballot right now. And you'll see the lodging tax up on the ballot in November.
And, you know, when you're talking about tax, and of course, you know, when they're doing budgets and money's low right now, you got to make some tough decisions. And nobody likes to hear taxes are being raised regardless of the taxes. But if you're going to raise one, the lodging tax at least doesn't tax, for the most part, people here. They tax people visiting. However, then on the other side of that, you don't want to tax them too much because you want them to keep coming.
Well, absolutely. And then, but do remember that all taxes do have a trickle-down effect on the locals, because at some point you're going to want to go watch the Bison at the regional or the state tournament. You're probably going to stay in a hotel, and you're going to pay that tax. The other thing is, we have a lot of in-state tourism that actually comes from the locals, and so, you know, they decide to go to Jackson and ski, or over to the hot springs in Thermopolis, and maybe they stay a day or two. You're subjecting them to the tax. So, you know, it's nice to say it's the tax that you'll never pay, but it's the tax you'll occasionally pay.
Sure. Absolutely. So we've also got coming up tomorrow a commissioner's meeting. What's going to happen at this meeting? What's the agenda?
Well, it's going to be a weird one. We're going to start it at 10 a.m. rather than we usually start at 9, and that's just to accommodate some schedules. We are going to have scheduled to have a very special guest drop by.
Someone you're not going to mention?
Someone I'm not going to mention, but we are scheduled to have a very special guest drop by. But a couple of important things on the schedule, and that is the commissioners are going to receive the recommendations from the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative. So the people that have been working for over a year on the collaboratives looking at the North Fork and Gardner Mountain wilderness study areas, and then also the Fortification Creek wilderness study areas, are going to present their recommendations to the commissioners for approval, rejection, or we can actually remand them back and ask them to look at specific things. So we're going to take a look at those recommendations. If they clear us, then we'll send them on to the congressional delegation, and Congressman Cheney's going to take the lead on introducing the bill in the House, and hopefully we can get those out of limbo that they've been in since they were proposed for a study. Our areas were actually not recommended for wilderness, yet they're still held in that designation because Congress took no action. So it's one of those deals that we're trying to just get those resolved. I think that people are going to be pleased with what this committee for the two in Johnson County and then the committee that worked on Fortification Creek, what they put together. They really were very thoughtful in their approach. We're going to have a few questions for the committee tomorrow, and we'll just see where it goes from there. So pretty heavy on public lands tomorrow.
And when you talk about commissioner meetings, now if maybe someone's interested in some of this stuff, these are open to the public, right? People can just come in and check it out?
Absolutely, Brady. And we are on the second floor of the old historic courthouse on Main Street. Normally we start at 9. It's the first and third Tuesday of each month. We're going to start at 10 tomorrow. That's that one change-up. But it really is an opportunity to have your voice heard, understand where the money is getting spent. On the first Tuesday of every month, we pay the county's bills, and people are welcome to look at the vouchers and see just exactly where the money's going. So we try to be as open and transparent as possible. As accommodating, of course, we always allow public comment. So if there's something that's a concern that you have, but it's not on the agenda, it's a great opportunity to then step in, share your concerns, and then we can address it.
Now, is that something where, say, I wanted to come, I had some concerns about something I wanted to talk, do I need to let you guys know that before the meeting, or is there just a time where they say anyone can come up?
It's both. So if you want to get on the agenda, you just go ahead and call our office at 684-7555. There's three fives there. I miss the old days in Buffalo where you just had to do the last four numbers. You know, yeah. Now you have to remember seven. It used to be just four.
They make things so difficult.
They make it so difficult. But it's call 684-7555. Ask for Sheila, the commissioner's assistant, and let her know exactly what your concern is, and she'll see if she can get you on the agenda. And then certainly if you don't feel comfortable doing that, or something comes up between when the agenda is set and when our meeting is, just show up, and we always ask for public comment.
So you're saying at one point here in Buffalo, if I wanted to call across town, I didn't have to do 684, I just did the last four?
It was classic old days where it was just the four.
You know, that's interesting. Back in Illinois where I grew up, my grandmother lived in a town of less than 1,000 people, and I thought this was the only town you were allowed to do that, but you actually had to hit the first three, or 627. You had to hit the seven, then the last four. That's not the case anymore. But when I was a kid, that was the case. I thought that was the only place. It's the first I've heard about.
No,
it
was,
else.
And it was, and I was a, I think I was in elementary or junior high when they put the 684,
and like,
it was hard. You know, a pretty girl would tell you her number, yeah. And you're like, oh, I only have to remember four numbers, and now you're like,
now you have to remember seven. Wait, let me write this down.
Yeah. But it was, they were all the same. You know, we didn't have multiple prefixes, but yeah, those. Those small little things about little towns, sure, that we like, and but we've adapted. We're okay.
Absolutely. And there's a vacancy for Secretary of State. Where are we sitting on that? What's it look like?
You know, that's kind of one of those interesting processes. So the former Secretary of State, Ed Murray, resigned last Friday, and it kicked off a 15-day process for the replacement. And so the Republican Central Committee is going to convene in Cheyenne on Saturday, and interview all of the people that have put their names in, and we'll then forward three names to the governor for consideration, and he'll have a very short window to pick that, and then that individual is going to serve out the remainder of Ed Murray's term, which would be till the 1st of January of 2019. So essentially you could have an open seat if the person that gets selected chooses to just be a placeholder there, or if somebody gets elected and then decides that they're going to run for their own full term, which is actually what we saw when Mark Gordon, who's from here, became the state treasurer. He finished out Joe Meyer's term and then ran for his own full term. So pretty interesting times, because in Wyoming, you know, we don't have a lieutenant governor. So the Secretary of State actually serves as the acting governor anytime the governor leaves the state. And if for some reason that the governor became incapacitated, left office, or passed away, then the Secretary of State would actually hold the job of Secretary of State and as the acting governor until the next election. So it's actually a pretty important post that we need to get filled. At this point, Pete Illoway, who is a former state legislator from Cheyenne, who ran for Secretary of State 4 years ago, he has put his name in, as well as this, I think yesterday, Darren Smith, who is a gentleman from also Laramie County, who is the chairman of their party down there and ran for the U.S. House last time, but didn't quite get it done. He's put his name in, and I've spoken with several other people that are going to be filing their paperwork this week. So we should have a lot of choices. And so Marilyn Conley and Robert Garrison and I will be down there on Saturday to make that selection.
Okay, very cool. We're talking with Johnson County Commissioner Bill Novotny. Bill, thank you so much for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Brady.
Absolutely. This is Community Speaks, brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. It's Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.